the land of promise with their two sons in a time of famine, and they moved to Moab. And there the two sons had married two Moabite women, only for disaster to overcome the family in that Elimelech and the two sons all died. And we've heard how Naomi then decided to leave Moab and return to the land of promise. And one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, pressed her so hard to return, while the other one decided to go back to her family in Moab. And so we continue today with the events that happened when Naomi and Ruth reached the land of promise again. And the last verse of chapter 1 gives us one of the themes for today, and that is of God's provision. Because we read that Naomi returned from Moabite accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Naomi and Elimelech and their two sons may have left the land of promise in a time of famine, but Naomi and Ruth were now returning in a time of plenty. The harvest was beginning. God had provided for his people in the land of promise. And if he had done that, then surely he would now provide for Naomi and Ruth as they came back to the land of promise. So provision is one of the main themes for our time together this morning. And the other main theme this morning is character. We are introduced to Boaz in these verses, and we find out about him, and we find out some more about Ruth. But behind both of these themes is the overriding purpose of God in the fulfillment of his plans of redemption, not just for the people of Israel, but for the whole world. Nothing is mere chance. It might seem like that to us, but it is not mere chance, because God is behind it all. Behind the events of the everyday ordinariness of life, God was expressing his providential care and rule and his covenanted grace through the character of both Ruth and Boaz. Let's start by looking at God's provision, and then we'll move on later to look at the character of Ruth and Boaz. As I said, there had been a turnaround in the land of promise. There was no more famine. There was now harvest. God had provided food once again in Bethlehem. And if Naomi had left in a time of famine, as she said, empty, she could move now to a time of fullness because of harvest. And Ruth could do the same as well because of God's provision. And sometimes, you know, our own circumstances and situation can cloud our ability to see the larger picture of God at work in our lives to provide for us. And this was the case with Naomi. Like Naomi, sometimes we can find ourselves in a difficult situation and feel empty of God. We can get caught up in a spiral of anxiety and despair, where we persuade ourselves that God has abandoned us and we have no prospects. However, God always gives his grace to come through difficulties and to provide for us all in the process. And here's how God did just that for Naomi and Ruth. We need to think about the law that God gave through Moses to his covenanted people. He gave specific instructions For how the foreigners and the widows and the orphanless and the poor were to be provided for in the land of promise. In Leviticus 19, we read, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." And the same instruction is found in Deuteronomy 24. "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf, you shall not go back for it. It shall be left for the foreigner and the orphan and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings." Ruth was a foreigner. She came from Moab. And both Ruth and Naomi were widows. So the law applied to them both. And as Ruth had married an Israelite, she would have been expected to adopt the faith and the God of Israel. So Ruth's new family had obviously in some way kept faith with God while they were living in Moab, so that she had learned enough to ask Naomi if she could go and glean in the fields with whomever she may find favour. And by this she would be able to gather sufficient grain to feed herself and Naomi. It would be God's provision for them both. Now here's something interesting. Have you noticed that Naomi did not go and glean? It was only Ruth. Naomi might have been able to go and glean. She might not have been able to work so hard as Ruth because of her age. But she still could have gone. She still could have gone also as protection for Ruth, because it would have been safer for two of them to go than just Ruth. Naomi left her daughter-in-law to face the hazards of abuse from regular gleaners and harvesters because of her foreignness. Not daunted, Ruth went. And she went to glean, and in that was God's provision for her and for Naomi. And sometimes when we are in a spiral of anxiety and despair, we don't know how we're going to manage because of our circumstances and our situations, what we need to do is to grasp hold of God's covenanted commitment to us to do us good and to provide for us. Because has not God, in the cross of his Son Jesus, demonstrated to us the height, the depth, and the width of his love? Can we therefore doubt that he will provide for us all that's necessary for life? God, our Father, in spite of our sin and our failure, will still look after us and provide for us. He will encourage us so that we can step out in faith again, even as Ruth now stepped out in faith to go and glean and to find God's provision. Sometimes we don't know what the future holds. Well, all the time, we don't know what the future holds. We might think we do, but it often turns out we don't. But we can know the one who holds the future. And that's what's most important. That's what can set us on the long road of obedience to God again and knowing his fullness in our lives. It's almost as if Ruth now had the faith in the God of Israel that she'd heard about through her adopted family to provide for her and her mother-in-law. Ruth had exchanged the dead God of Moab for the living God of Israel, and she was going to go and glean, come what may. Now, when she did go to glean, she found herself in the field of a man named Boaz. And as I said, the arrival of Naomi and Ruth at the beginning of the barley harvest may have seemed like chance, but it wasn't. And Ruth ending up in the field of Boaz to glean was not chance either, because God was in charge. He was in control and ruling in this matter. And it points to the truth that we don't necessarily control the events of our life. God does. God, who is behind all of this, is working out his plans and purposes, even through a foreigner such as Ruth. And the meeting between Ruth and Boaz is no accident. It's part of God's caring and gracious purpose. It's part of his great plan of redemption, which we shall hear more about next week. The redemption not only of Israel, but of the whole world. Because Jesus the Messiah would come as Redeemer of the Jews, yes, but also of the Gentiles, to be a light to the Gentiles. God would provide his redeeming love to all who would believe in his Son Jesus. So there we have God's provision for Naomi and Ruth. Ruth went to glean. There was a harvest going on. She went to glean, and there was enough for her to feed herself and Naomi. Let's move on to look at character, the character of the two people in these verses. We're introduced to Boaz, and then we learn more about Ruth as well. In these days, when we decide to look for a potential partner or spouse, we might engage in a variety of different activities. We might join a sports club. We might join a community choir. We might go to an evening class, or even place an advertisement in the press, or register for speed dating or online dating through the internet. I've not indulged in the latter, but I understand that what people do is they put a profile of themselves and a flattering photograph on the internet and hope that they find a suitable match. In a magazine this week, I read about two strangers who dated each other. The woman was from London and the man was from Brussels, and they met for a meal in Brussels. There was a photograph of them both, and there were some comments and words that they described each other. And when they were asked what they thought about each other, they were said to sum up in four words only. So it was quite interesting. But there was nothing like this in Ruth's time. In these verses we've read today, we're not told anything about the physical appearance of Ruth or Boaz. We are only told about their character, and we're told it in more than four words. For Boaz, we're told several things. He was an Israelite. He was related to Naomi on her husband's side. He was a prominent person in the community. He was rich. We find all of that in verse 1. As to his character, we find this in the conversations recorded with his workers, his foremen, and with Ruth herself. With the greeting in verse 4, Boaz comes out from Bethlehem, he sees his workers in his field and he says, "The Lord bless you." And there's a chorus comes back from the workers, which is that the Lord bless you as well. And from this, we understand that he was liked. He was respected as an employer. His employees were content to work with him. Is this not an example of how we should be in our workplace with our employer and with our colleagues? We also read that Boaz's character was one of being generous and kind in nature to those less fortunate than himself. He was assiduous in keeping the law of Israel with kindness and compassion. And he was kind to Ruth, even though she was a foreigner, because he was fundamentally a good person. And also because God had prepared his heart for Ruth. So these verses demonstrate Boaz as a character who was obedient to the law of Moses, and they're an example of how we are to behave to other people less fortunate than ourselves. And it's a wonder with such credentials that Boaz wasn't married, because I can imagine that he would have been a fair catch for some young woman. Or there would have been some family who would have been engaging in some matchmaking to bring about an alliance between their daughter and this man. Then we have something really amazing about Boaz's character in verse 9. This is what he says to Ruth: "Watch the field where the harvesters are working and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." This is the first anti-sexual harassment policy in the workplace, and it's recorded right here in Scripture. Isn't that brilliant? Boaz later on invokes God to intervene on Ruth's behalf to repay her. "May the Lord repay you for what you've done, and to reward her, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord. And for God to provide protection for her, because she's come to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel." So Boaz was offering asylum to Ruth as well as honoring God at the same time. What a character he is. There's lots that we can learn from him about how we should behave in the workplace and towards others less fortunate than ourselves. But what do we know about Ruth? Well, we know quite a lot about her, some of which is recorded in the first chapter. We know that she was from Moab, that she was a widow, that she was childless, because there's no children mentioned of the union between her and Mahlon or Chilion. We know she was determined. She was loyal. Or even, it could be said, radically committed to Naomi. She was certainly up for a challenge. There was no way she was going to go back to Moab. She was going to go to this new land. She was up for a challenge, well and good. She had energy and she had initiative. You know, she says to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and glean and pick up whatever's left over." And the foreman, look at what the foreman says about her when Boaz asks. He says she came into the field and remained here from morning till now. She was, not only was, did she have energy and initiative, she was jolly hard working as well. And then she was respectful when Boaz spoke to her. She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" She was honest about her background. She didn't try and hide it from Boaz. And she was so encouraged by the kindness of Boaz, even though she was a foreigner. That's what we're told, that's what we know, but someone, somewhere, had also given a good character reference about Ruth to Boaz already. Because the foreman told Boaz what he knew, that she'd come with her mother-in-law. And he was able to say what she'd done for her, and this impressed Boaz. When somebody gives a good character reference, it's very impressive. And so it seems, therefore, that the character of both Ruth and Boaz were of more importance in this account that we read here than their physical appearance. And Boaz continues praying for Ruth. She's obviously been praying and God's provided. And now Boaz says to her, "May the Lord reward you for your deed." Boaz recognized also in saying to her that may she be rewarded by the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz acknowledges that actually there's no real place of security other than in the Lord. And the same is true for us. If we are looking for our security today in anything other than the Lord God Almighty, we're deceiving ourselves. We may think, as we pursue all sorts of good things for their own value, that they will give us security, but actually they won't, you know, because all good things come from God, and that includes our security. So character is very important, therefore, with God. Ruth had learned what Paul would write later on to the church in Rome, that endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Ruth's endurance in coming with her mother-in-law to Israel had produced a character that had been noticed, and a hope for her that God would provide for them. And Ruth's prayer had been heard by the God of Israel to glean behind someone in whose eyes she might find favor. That was her prayer in verse 2. May I find favor. Or let me pick up the leftover corn behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. And what does she say to Boaz in verse 10? Why have I found favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? She was touched by Boaz's kindness and compassion. It demonstrated that God had no boundaries of ethnic, racial, or tribal group. It demonstrated that then. It is true for us today as well. Even a despised Moabitess was incorporated into the nation of Israel. It was therefore a forerunner of what Christ would achieve on the cross for us. Paul wrote to the Galatians that there was neither Jew nor Greek, that's Gentile, that's foreigner, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And in Colossians, Paul would write, here is no Greek, that's Gentile, or foreigner, or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, foreigner again, barbarian, foreigner, Scythian, foreigner, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. We are all one in Christ through what he's done on the cross for us. And Ruth and Boaz were a forerunner of that. God's provision and the character of these two people were working together to achieve God's plan and purpose of redemption, not only for the Israelites, but for the whole world. And we shall be hearing more about that next week. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you provide for us, even when it doesn't seem like it's possible, but you do, because you have a commitment to us and a care and a compassion for us. And we thank you, Father, that your character is one of constant, unfailing love towards us, and that our character is very important to you. And so we pray that we will endure, that we will gain hope and perseverance and continue to put our trust and our faith in you, the Lord God, who does all things well. Amen.